Okay, if you have your Bibles, if you could take them and turn to the book of Genesis, chapter 25, Genesis 25, and as you're turning, if you could stand, if you're able to, stand in the honor of reading God's Word. I've entitled this, Spirit Against Flesh, Spirit Against Flesh. Sunday school, Brother Joe, Brother Everett is talking about the Word of God, but also talking about the warfare that goes on. And there's a real warfare that's happening. It is going on right now. And actually, in this room as we speak, it's going on. And it's for us. It's over us. So, Genesis chapter 25, we're going to start reading in verse 19. Scripture says, "And these are the generations of Isaac, Abraham's son. Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah to wife, the daughter of Bethuel, the Syrian, of Padanaram, the sister to Laban, the Syrian. And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife because she was barren. And the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah, his wife, conceived. And the children struggled together within her, and she said, If it be so, why am I thus? And she went to inquire of the Lord. And the Lord said unto her, Two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. And the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger. And when her days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb. And the first came out red all over like a hairy garment. And they called his name Esau. And after that came his brother out, and his hand took hold of Esau's heel, and his name was called Jacob. And Isaac was 80 years old when she bare them. And the boys grew, and Esau was a cunning hunter, a man of the field, and Jacob was a plain man, dwelling in tents. And Isaac loved Esau, because he did eat of his venison. But Rebekah loved Jacob. And Jacob sowed pottage, and Esau came from the field, and he was faint. And Esau said to Jacob, Feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I am faint. Therefore was his name called Edom. And Jacob said, Sell me this day thy birthright. And Esau said, Behold, I am at the point to die, and what profit shall this birthright do to me? And Jacob said, Swear to me this day. And he sware unto him, and he sold his birthright unto Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils, and he did eat and drink and rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. Let's pray. Father, we ask now that you would help us to understand this portion of Scripture and the depth of what this is talking about. And that, Lord, that we can understand it so we can apply these sayings to our own heart, our own life, and to the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. We ask in your name. Amen. You may be seated. Let me get some water here. We are in a war, a very real war. There are real casualties. There are those that have been wounded, those that are dead, and some other affliction of some other wounds. And there are innocent victims, and there's always innocent victims in war. And certainly in this war, there is innocent victims. We may not see blood, but there is great trauma in this war, in this spiritual war. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16 and 17, it says, This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that you would. The word lusteth there means to covet or to desire, things that you have an inclination to, the things that you so desire that may even be considered sinful. You know, there's other things that, you know, we have very sophisticated sins, you know, or sophisticated non-sins, maybe we could say. It gives an idea of a sensuous appetite and something to satisfy those senses. And when I'm talking about our senses, it can be our sight, our smell, our touch, our taste, our hearing, and just maybe the things that our own heart desires that may not be right or may just be off limits to us. And so let me ask you some questions. Do we help bring people together, or do we push people away? Okay. We say we are Christians, okay? We're Christians. Is your family and friends drawn closer in faith in Christ by your example, by our example? Or are they turned away by our example? I mean, there's no in between. You know that. Either we kind of turn people away, or we can draw people to Christ. And not because of what we say, but by the example, by the way we live. Does the family see Christ living in us? The presence of God that lives within us and our consciousness of the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives? Or do they see demands or ill temper, maybe pettiness or selfishness or some sort of jealousy and self-centeredness in which it's about what we feel, about what we want, what we desire, and it's only about us? And many times we can inflict a lot of damage into people, and not just, I mean, it's the kind of thing we continue at it so much that you finally beat people down into just saying, do whatever you want to do. And which is not a good thing, you know. My brothers and sisters, our Lord, there's one thing about Him and the Word of God, He is going to cut straight to the core of our being. And when He does cut straight to the core of our being, I'm going to tell you, we don't like it. We don't like it. As a matter of fact, we detest it. And we get to the point where, you know, we will stand up and just say, no, I'm not going to do that. And we might think it takes a lot of courage to do that, but there's no courage in that. All it is selfish. You know, it's not selfless, it's selfish. And that's the truth. Our lives will be laid out before Him. And this is what He does. And in time, we get to a point, what He does, He starts peeling things back like an onion. You know, a little bit layer here and a layer there until that thing that's there, it's open to us. And we have to make a decision of what are we going to do with that? Ignore it? Well, we can. Or we can justify it and reason it, say it's not that bad, but yet it's there, and what are we going to do with it? Got to do something. We're either going to do one of two things, and I'll say this again. We're either going to bow before God and say, Lord, help me with this thing, or we're going to bolt. We're going to bolt and say, I don't have to do that. And they're wrong with this kind of thing. And we sense His presence and His probing and what is exposed. And it's, you know, it is not easy. I'm just saying it's not easy. But Salvation appears easy, but you know that salvation was never easy, because it took the Lamb of God to take our sin upon Him. It was a very strenuous, it was a hard thing. And say, but it wasn't hard for me. No. Salvation isn't hard for us. It has been taken care of. And many times you hear say, listen, all you got to do is just receive the Lord as your Savior. No, there's one other thing. You got to repent of your sin first. And that is not something we really care to do. And when I'm talking about repenting of our sin, I am saying this, that we have to trust absolutely and completely in the person of Jesus Christ. But what about, what after that? Now what? Now comes living. Now comes the living in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ living in us, according to John 15. If we abide in Him and He abide in me. Now what does that mean to abide or to live or to have your home? Is there any activity in your house? Well, sure there is. There is at least some activity. You got to do something in your home, you know. Now if you got children, there's always something going on. And you know when it's quiet in the home, you know something's wrong. You know, with children, right? You got to inspect and find out what in the world are those yahoos doing. You know, but even if we don't have children at home, what we still have activity, and there's activity that goes on within us in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ and His Word. He continues to work within us and upon us. It's just when He's quiet. And He's not saying anything. This is when we should become a little excited. You know, like, Lord, I haven't heard from You in a long time. Why? Are You ready for the answer? Well, it's a good thing to ask why. Listen, when we stop asking questions is when we stop growing as a Christian. Simple as that. He is going to take you in places that you never thought. And He's going to become very particular, and He's going to become picky. Living comes along and He begins to influence us and convict us in so many things. And we have maybe stopped old bad habits and began good habits after we first got saved, but now comes these respectable sins that no one sees. You know what I'm saying? Our thought life, what we desire in our heart. It's those kind of things that He knows what we're thinking. He knows our heart, and He desires us to get our thoughts under control and this kind of thing. But the question is have we progressed spiritually? How about your joy? Do you have joy in Christ? But you say, well, maybe I just haven't had the joy in Christ. Now, joy and happiness are a little bit different. Joy can be even in the midst of times that are very tough. You can still have the joy of the Lord and knowing that He is there. You know, we've recently in this church, a lot of people are down right now. A lot of people physically are just down. People have been sick. People have had surgeries. People are in incredible pain. It's just one thing after another. Surgeries. And it just seems like we're going through a lot of that stuff right now. Now, we've noticed that, right? Do you kind of find it a little unusual? So much stuff is going on? Why do you think? Have you thought about it? And you say, well, does the spiritual deal with the flesh? Oh, yeah. He really does. You know, We had one church member was on the precipice. He was right there. People needed to pray for him. And God worked that thing out. Brought him the right doctor. You see people in incredible pain. And, I mean, a lot of pain. And then the surgeries and more surgeries. And you say, well, that's just the way it goes. This much? There's something going on. Don't you think that there's an attack? Oh, sure there is. And he said, well, these things have been planned for a long time. You know, see how we can justify things? And there's probably other things that are going on here. I mean, we've had deaths. We've had all kinds of stuff. And you say, well, who? What's all going on? This is why we need asking God to help us. This stuff is spiritual. They break you down. They destroy you. I mean, some of you have been to the point that you've been sick for a long time. Does that affect you spiritually? Of course it does. You have to make up your mind of what you're going to do. There's not a lot of joy in that, but you can bring joy only through Jesus Christ. We need prayer. There's something going on, and it isn't right. I'm just saying. But if we're not asking God to intervene in these things, we're really in trouble. If it just gets down to just a few people that are going to try to pray, we're in more trouble than we ever thought. Because that is where the war goes on, is in the spirit world. And you say, but it's the flesh. Of course he's going to attack the flesh. You know, this stuff is serious, okay? It's real, and there's a real war going on. And what about being patient? You know, you could say, well, prayer is just not something I can just handle. Why not? It's we can get help. Jesus said that I'll send a comforter. I'll send a paraclete, a helper for you. I'll help you with this. He says, come to me and ask me, and I'll help you through this. I'll teach you to pray. And or maybe services are a little bit too long and my stomach is starting to growl, so I'll hurry up today. But is this really what we really need? I mean, we get down to the level of Esau. I'm going to die if I don't get food. I think some of us could go on our reserves for a while, you know. Some no, others. Okay, me, I could go for a while, my reserves. Humility. You know, you think about humility. I ever thought, well, why do I have to do it? Why doesn't somebody come and help me? Well, why not you? I mean, who are we doing it for? So we can be seen what we've done? Have you ever noticed that there is a ministry of the unnoticed? That people don't see what is done? You know, or after fellowship, why is it I have to clean this up? Somebody has to. But it's always so-and-so that leaves. Well, there's always so-and-so that stays, you know. And it's a matter of who are we doing it for? How about self-control? Oh, self-control. You ever straighten people out? In love. It's because I love you, my brother. But you need to straighten this thing out. Or you ever got mad, righteous anger? My anger is righteous. Is it really righteous? Or are you just angry? You know what I'm saying? And do you ever make just a smart remark? this. How many here always wants the last word? Nah, okay, there's three of us, all right. There's three in all of us, always want the last word, and it's always the last remark, you know. You always got to get the last dig in, you know. That's real self-control. Sometimes it's better to keep our mouth. Don't you wish there's sometimes, what? You know, I could have just kept my mouth shut and I'd have been fine. Why did I just have to, you know? Oh, but I was led to do that, really? No, you weren't. Listen, the evidence of the relationship that we have with our Lord or not have will come out in what influence we exhibit towards people. I mean, I know what a person says, but then again, you can also see what a person does. And do they match or are they contrary? Okay, are they contrary? For the flesh lusteth against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary, incompatible. They're opposite. They're antagonistic towards each other. As a matter of fact, they're offensive to each other. The flesh is offended by the spirit, and the spirit is offended by the flesh. That's what it means. So that you cannot do the things that you would. And so we notice in this portion of scripture, we notice in verses 12 through 18, I didn't read about Ishmael. You know, it's the whole thing about Ishmael. You can read that on your own. If you need the names and what they mean, you can come just look at my Bible and I've got them written down if you really want their names. But, you see his 12 sons, and then he just moves on right to Isaac. Like, let's get Ishmael taken care of, and now let's move on to what's important, all right? And it gives you a little information, and they move on. And in this chapter, chapter 25, there are 34 verses in chapter 25. And did you know 26 of the verses start with the word and? And everywhere you go, it's and. It just keeps building and building and building and going and going. And before you knew it, you've passed from one person to the next. And so there's a lot going on in chapter 25, a lot of things. You see, Abraham's, you know, remarriage and the children that he had, and then his death and Ishmael and his genealogy, and then it goes to Isaac and Rebekah and the problem of their childbearing, and then the birth of Esau and Jacob, and then finally the transfer of the blessed birthright. There's a lot of things that are happening, but the first thing I want to look at is the flesh is weak. The flesh is very weak. And what I'm saying is you cannot do the things in the spirit in the flesh. But the sad part about it, this is how we do most things. The flesh is weak in the sense of spirituality. It is weak. But the problem is even though that we might be going through the motions, we are hindering the spiritual side of it. In most instances, in Scripture, it speaks of fruit. You know, it talks about spiritual fruit. Well, did you know that we kind of had to change what spiritual fruit is so that we can do it in the flesh? Did you ever think about that? It's just a thought. It's like spiritual fruit is winning people to the Lord. Did you know lost people can do that? Did you know that? Did you know lost people have done that? There have been preachers that have been lost and they've been in the ministry. Like who? We support one of them, Don Newland. Brother Newland, he gives you a, I was talking with him, and here he was in Vietnam, and he's over there, and he realizes he's lost. And so he calls up a fellow that he knows and goes over there, and they sit down, and they go through Scripture, and it was Tim Ekno. Did you know that? You didn't know that? Yeah. He went to go see Tim Ekno there in Hanoi, or Saigon, rather, in Saigon. And Brother Newland got saved, came back, got things squared away, and he's back over there doing what he's supposed to do. Well, he'd been doing stuff for the Lord. All I'm saying is we can do things, seemingly, it's spiritual, and we're doing it in the flesh. And... You know, it's, I call it the soul winning scout belt is what I call it. You know, people go around, they win some to the Lord, and they go around, they tell everybody what they've done for God. But you know, it's got to get to a point where we start hearing what God is doing for us. God does for us. Did he not save us? What did we have to do for that? He took care of all of it. Right? Right? Let's see. It was those individuals that came to Moses and started witnessing to him. Oh, no, they didn't do that either. Oh, they came to Abraham witnessing to him. Oh, he didn't do that. That was God. See where we can go with this? See, we can be a part of what he desires in this world. And we can do it in the spirit or we can do it in the flesh. Our problem is how to do that. And spiritual fruit is what we allow God to do in us. And I'll tell you, it goes against who we are. It goes against that. So let's look in verse 19, and it says, "And these are the generations of Isaac, Abraham's son. Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah to wife, the daughter of Bethuel, the Syrian of Padanaram, the sister to Laban, the Syrian. And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife because she was barren." Now that word barren means barren. It means that she was sterile. She was sterile. Now, we know what happened between Abraham and Sarah. She could not conceive. She could not conceive until God stepped in, right? It's the same thing. So when you start looking at Esau and Jacob, those children are a miracle. Because what happens? An individual has interceded for her. Now, they still had to go through the motions to have a child. But the fact of the matter is, it was God who allowed that. We still need to do what we got to do, but we have to do it before we start looking at this, going to God and asking God for everything. Not just, "God bless our going." We say, "God, which way do we go?" And so he entreats, he prays, it gives the idea of incense. And incense is a picture of prayer because it always goes up. And but Galatians 5:17 says it best. But spirituality, see, Rebecca is kind of a picture of us, right? When we look at ourselves in the light of God, we're sterile. We are barren spiritually, right? We're barren spiritually. I mean, Matthew chapter 5 talks about that very thing, that we are spiritually bankrupt. He talks about that in the Beatitudes. We're spiritually bankrupt. What's that mean? We're spiritually barren. So who deals with us spiritually? The Lord Jesus Christ. God does. Barrenness lies within us, but not Jesus Christ. Because with God, all things are possible. John 15:4 says, "Abide in me and I in you, and the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can ye except ye abide in me." And that's where we're supposed to abide, a live. That's where we're supposed to live. It was 20 years. When's the last time you prayed 20 years for something when it finally occurred? 20 years. Or do we forget about it and don't trust God? 20 years. How long was it with Abraham and Sarah? 25. But they trusted God. Isaac entreated the Lord. And so, again, Scripture says Rebekah was barren, and God hears prayer. Not only hears, but will answer prayer. That's why he says, don't ever give up. Don't ever stop asking God. Keep asking Him. Trust Him. Now, He might change the way you pray, but He may not. because you asked for a good thing. I mean, here we're talking about an heir. We're talking about how things will go. Now, what happens in this is when I get through this, what happens between Isaac and Rebekah, and when these two boys are born, will have ramifications 2,000 years down the road. And as a matter of fact, still does today. It's amazing. And when you look at this. Now let's look at this. Look in verse 21 again. And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife because she was barren, and the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah, his wife, conceived. And the children struggled together within her, and she said, "If it be so, why am I thus?" And she went to inquire of the Lord. And the Lord said unto her, "Two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. And the one people shall be stronger than the other people. And the elder shall serve the younger." And so there's this struggle. It gives the idea that it means that there's this oppression, and it means like there's the bruising going on. I mean, there's something really going on within her. I mean, there is a fight and a struggle going on within her. And she's wondering, am I going to die in this thing? This isn't normal. And honestly, it wasn't normal. What was going on between Esau and Jacob? They were fighting within the womb because they were so opposite. And so she's having a terrible time. It's distressing and worrisome. And so she inquires. In other words, she frequented the Lord and sought God's wisdom and his answers for help. What is happening within me? And God answers her inquiry, and it may not be what she desired, but she got an answer. Now, did she want God to take away all this struggle that's going on? Oh, I'm sure. Lord, you know, can you just, what's happening? Don't you just ask sometimes what is going on? You know, it's like with so many people that have been sick and people, so much stuff. Hurt, stuff that hurts. Why so much? We're in a struggle. It's a warfare. It really is. And don't think of anything less than that. It just, you know, we don't have a lot of people here. But how many people has it affected? All of us. Some of you in a very personal way. You know what I'm saying? This stuff is real. Don't take it and just, it's just life. Well, it is life. But like this with all of us? So much? I might be wrong. I don't think I am. And so she's looking for answers. And so the Lord says, well, two nations are in thy womb. What? Two manner of people. Huh? One people shall be stronger than the other people. What? The elder shall serve the younger. Why is all this happening to me? This is still not a spiritual struggle? Of course it is. The two nations, Jacob, will be in the line of Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Savior. He'll be, the Jewish people will come out of him. Esau. Look in verse 30 real quick. And it says, and Esau said to Jacob, "Feed me, I pray thee, with the same pottage, for I am faint." Therefore was his name called Edom. It means red. It gives the idea of Adam. Adam means red. You ever heard of the Edomites? Who were the Edomites? Herodians? Herod. Herod was an Edomite. Did he have anything to do around the time when Jesus Christ was just born or just after? Yeah, let me tell you, babies 2 years and under, blood ran in the streets of Jerusalem or in Bethlehem. All over the place, actually. He wanted him dead. Where did he come from? Esau. Because there's a struggle going on. Now do you see that there is spiritual struggle? All the way back then, there was a struggle. Because, listen, the devil does not want anything as far as the gospel of Jesus Christ going forward. He does not want you to live as a Christian. He does not want you to pray. He wants you to be depressed. He wants you to be oppressed. He wants you to be just defeated. He doesn't want you to do anything as coming towards Him. He doesn't want you to get on your knees because that is where the war is. Prayer is not a weapon. Prayer is the battle. Because it's not here. It's in the spirit world. It's true. This is why they came to God when they were having problems. This is why we go to God when we pray for people, for God to come in and deal with us, help us. At least try to bring some sense to what's going on. Say, Lord, why are so many people getting sick? Why are people passing away? Why are people going at one time? Coincidence? Or a pattern? It's a pattern. The devil knows how to get us, doesn't he? I know he can get me, man. He can get me down. I'm down Friday, man. The flesh is weak. Let me tell you something. There is a high price. Listen to me. There is a high price for low living. A high price for low living. Number two, the spirit against the flesh. Look in verse 24. And when her days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb. And the first came out red all over like an hairy garment. And they called his name Esau. And after that came his brother out. And his hand took hold of Esau's heel. And his name was called Jacob, and Isaac was 80 years old when she bare them. Okay, he's 60 now. Now there's two natures before us. There's Esau, who's red. He's hairy. You know, hairiness in this time, hairiness on an individual is a picture of incivility in the ancient world, almost animal-like. When you saw, I mean, I couldn't imagine what Esau looked like. He was hairy all over and red. I mean, go ahead and let your imagination run. Think of the hairiest man you have ever seen in your life and put that on a baby. Now tell me they're not ugly babies. I bet that was an ugly child. I'm just saying, you know. Not saying they're all cute. I don't think about Esau. Jacob. He was the second boy. He was the one who would not receive the double blessing from the patriarch. He was what is called a heel holder. In this time, it gives the idea of one who outwits by treachery. When you see that in that time, during this time, as a heel holder, is someone who outwits by treachery, trips them up. Okay. And so they both knew their grandfather. You know, which is amazing, they both knew Abraham. They were both 15 years old by the time their grandfather passed away. So now you can imagine that Abraham told them what's going on, at least through Isaac, right? Okay, we have a birthright. Now here's what's going on. There's an Abrahamic covenant. Let me tell you what happened during the Abrahamic covenant, and he goes through all this stuff. and tells them that, you know, God put a deep sleep on them, and I separated these animals, and there was a fire and a lamp that went in between, and now this is the promises that God has made. Well, it seems to me one is listening. Jacob. He hears what's listening. Now, there's other people that just don't care about that stuff. They just don't, you know. Now, you know, when my grandmother, she would tell all these stories about the woods, you know, what my grandfather did and stuff. And I would just sit and listen to the stories that she would tell me. And I would take them in. I would just drink them in. But look in verse 27 and 28. And the boys grew, and Esau was a cunning hunter, a man of the field, and Jacob was a plain man dwelling in tents. And Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison. But Rebekah loved Jacob. Now, we have utter opposites. Esau was an outdoorsman. He was real physical, and he was a hunter, and he was dad's favorite. Jacob, he was more of an inside guy, more of a pastoral type life, but I think he's the guy that actually listened to what was happening and understood the magnitude of the covenants and what was all important, and not only interested in this life, but dealing with the eternal. He says, this thing goes so far beyond that, how can I get that? Well, he was also mom's favorite. Now, allow me to say that when we start having a mother and father in a house and we have our favorites, it kind of brings a little bit of irritation, you know. There get to be some problems. And so there's problems that occur in the domestic situation here, and they're kind of split over the boys. So you saw number one, you see the flesh is weak, but you also see the spirit against the flesh. You see these opposites going on with, but there's one thing about the spirit. Now be ready for this. There's one thing about when you get into the spiritual side of it, is the spirit is patient. The spirit is patient. Now you think about it, you see how Abraham and Sarah had to wait 25 years. Isaac and Rebekah had to wait 20 years, but did not God do exactly what he said he was going to do? Of course he did. As a matter of fact, he always does more. I mean, God didn't bring one child in, he brought two. Oh boy. He kind of always goes over and above when he blesses. And you kind of go, man, what am I doing now? What's so different that I'm doing now that this is going on like this? It's just time. Be patient. I have a friend of mine up in Washington. He took over a church. It was a mess. And there were, oh man, he'd call. There were times that he'd weep. I mean, the guy was there and split that church. I mean, it got to the point to where Brother John, he finally had to say in a Sunday night service, he goes, listen, let's take care of it right now. Anybody want to go with the deacon? Stay there. Anybody want to stay here? Come up on the podium and be with me. And then when it happened, he says, now you guys go. Just go. He called me up the next day and he just wept because a lot of it, the pressure was over. But it kind of stayed like that for years and years. And then all of a sudden, next thing you know, his church is full within months. Now this was after years though. He says, what am I doing different? Nothing. Nothing. It's just time. Now, one thing is, he was different. God helped him grow. See, during these times, the times that you just want to weep, you're going to grow spiritually. Because there's one thing I do know. God will bring tears. He's going to bring tears to you. And when you start tearing up and you go to God with tears, there's a difference when you come to God like that. And you know something, He will soothe you. It's just who He is. So, Jacob sees what's all important. But here comes Esau. Man, he comes walking in, right? let's see. And it says there in verse 29, and Jacob sawed pottage, and Esau came from the field. He was faint. He was languid. He was just, you ever come in and say, man, I am starving. If I don't get anything to eat right now, I'm going to die. Right? I am going to die. And so it goes on to say, it says, and Esau said to Jacob, feed me, I pray thee, with the same pottage, for I am faint. Therefore was his name called Edom. And Jacob, he was patient. Sell me this day thy birthright. Huh? Esau, how about this? I'll give you, you know, this pottage and I'll bread, I'll make sure, I'll feed it to you. Just sell me your birthright for this. And what does he say? And Esau said, behold, I am at the point to die, and what profit shall this birthright? What are those last three words? Do to me. Not do me, do to me. That's the flesh. See, have you ever gone to God and asked, what are you doing to me? Or are you asking, God, what will this all do me? See, there's a difference in attitude. There's a difference in the Spirit. The Spirit says, what will this do for me? Do me. Not do to me. What will this do me for? How is it that I'm going to grow thereby? But see, Esau is saying, well, what good is it to me if I'm going to die? You know, it's not going to do anything for me. No, not right now. I mean, it will down the road. But we're talking about eternal things. Esau is not going to die. But see, he is ran by his senses. His stomach hurts, just growling. He's hungry. Okay, I got it. And he probably is weak. But he's not going to die. But he just wants it now. And we live in an instant generation, don't we? See what happens when we want things right now? Our problem is we get into trouble like this, and how much stuff have we lost? I'm talking stuff spiritually have we lost because we want something right now to satisfy me. This is why it's patient. Oh, the smell. His mouth is watering. He can hear that stuff on the fire. You know, but you know, it's bubbling, you know, and it's smelling good. And he's thinking about grabbing that nice hot bowl and putting that spoon up to his mouth and having that just coat his tongue with those lentils and the meat and the vegetables and how it will coat all the way down and satisfy his appetite. You get it? This is what he wants. He's willing to sell a birthright for that. And so Jacob follows through. Now here's Jacob. Now watch what he, I'm not saying what Jacob does is right. I'm not doing that. But what he desires is a good thing. He just doesn't do it right. But it goes on. And Jacob said, swear to me. And in other words, that seven yourself, you know, swear to me this day. And he swore unto him, and he sold his birthright unto Jacob. He followed through. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils. And he did eat and drink and rose up. And what does it say? And went his way. See, always his way. See, the flesh always goes his way, not God's way. If it always has to go your way, that's the flesh. You know, not everything goes our way. But when God is in it, don't ask him, what are you doing to me? What will this do me? How will this help me spiritually? And rose up, went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. Now, this is legal and it is binding. There's a lot of people they want in their spiritual life. They want ecstatic experiences. How many have you heard say, well, I go here because they got, you know, good music. Well, I normally ask, well, how's the preaching? Well, that's good too. You know, what should be more important? You know, 1 Corinthians 2:14, he says, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. And so, a few hasty words, and let me tell you, now it has all changed. Everything is changed. A holy war is so much better than the peace of the devil's palace. Did you hear me? A holy war is so much better than the peace in the devil's palace. You don't want to be in the devil's palace. You might be comfortable for a while, but it's not going to turn out well. Psalm 73, verse 17 says, until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I their end. Verse 6 of the same psalm, it says, therefore pride compasseth them about as a chain. He's saying that in that same psalm, he's saying that when we have our own pride, it has got us locked up in a prison. It has shackled us. Let me tell you something. Your pride is going to, you hit the water having a chain, you're going to sink like a rock. It's going to kill you. And it is truly, truly a prison. And so Esau's appetites was his master. Hebrews 12:16, it says, lest there be any fornicator or profane person, heathenish, wicked as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. He goes on to say there, he says, he despised his birthright. In other words, he had a low regard, he had a poor opinion of it. As a matter of fact, he scorned it. He was contemptible towards the birthright. He could care less. What does that do to me? I don't care about that. Let me tell you. Esau the hunter became himself the prey. This, again, there's a war that's going on, and it is between the flesh and the spirit and the flesh, and the devil is very much a part of this thing. There are rootin' tootin', rompin', stompin' demons that are going to try to stop anything that God wants to do in your life. When we start asking, what is that going to do for me? Listen, he wants to bless you. And you say, well, when will it end? Listen, I'm sure that there are more blessings out there he desires to give us than we have ever imagined. But we want these things to just soothe our flesh. Good grief. A battle is raging. And I'll tell you something, it's raging in this room right now. I'm going to finish with this. Romans chapter 7, if you want to turn there with me. Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7. Paul struggled. The apostle Paul struggled. The apostle Paul, he had a way of putting things down. Let's start reading in verse 11. Romans chapter 7, verse 11, it says, for sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me. Wherefore, the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just, and good. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. See, there's things in there that we might think are good. All of a sudden, they're not just sinful, they are exceeding sinful. All right? He goes on, verse 14, it says, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. Man, that sounds like my life. The stuff I want to do that's right, I end up not doing. And the stuff, man, I just don't want to do, I find myself thinking about it. I'm like, oh, good grief. Look in verse 16. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, if I do that I would not, it is not more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do evil or do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the what? Inward man. See that? The inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. You see a man that is just struggling. And then he goes, oh, wretched, I can just hear him say this. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? And here's the answer. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. You see, there's a struggle. Paul's going through the struggle. You're going through the struggle. I'm going through the struggle. This is why we need each other. You get it? This is why you have a church. And when you're hurting, we should hurt. You pray for people. And you say, do I know that people are praying for me? Well, listen, there's things that go on that, listen, if we don't know that there's something going on, how can we pray for it? Let us know. How is it sometimes I'm always the last person to know? That's the most amazing thing. You know, sometimes my wife say, hey, did you know? When did that happen? Oh, about 2 weeks ago. What? Really? How did I not know it? You know, I guess I'm supposed to know. I've had people come up to me angry. Why didn't you know? I don't know. I don't know how I didn't know. I guess somebody didn't tell me. You know, how many here can really read minds? I can read body language, but I still can't read minds. Have you got that down, Brother Jonas? No. Can you read your mind, your wife's mind? Yeah, you say that with a laugh. You say that like, I'll never be able to read that mind. Never, ever. No, it's not the way it's supposed to happen. My wife says, you've been with me all this time, and no, I don't know. Why? You tell me. You know what I'm saying? But listen, there's a war that's going on. It really is. And we need prayers. We need to battle where He battles. And that's when we go to God. Let me tell you something. The devil, he takes notice. Okay? There's a war going on. And people are sick. We have people that are hurting. You know, people are hurting. And don't be ashamed of if you're hurting. Say, I'm hurting. Could you just, in your time, could you pray for me? It's okay.